B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I need some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. My children have unplugged every piece of electronics that I have, so I will be without a computer or a phone for the next 20 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah. Lots of therapy yesterday, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Here we go.
I mean, was this like being stuck at the dinner table and just not being able to leave?
Then them contradicting one another, which was fun. One very nice and one a huge prick. So we'll we'll live with that. One I've known for 16 years and one who's just a giant douche that wants money. So we'll live in that world for a little while. But
now, is that like a Zoom type of deal, or is that just over the phone? Like, do you have to actually look them in the eye?
One was Zoom. The prick was Zoom.
Okay.
The nice one that I've known for 16 years was phone, who was not overly in love with the guy that was on Zoom, as he had insulted her several times during the Zoom call. Oh yeah, Rich, it's a laugher. It's a big time fun thing here.
Dude, it's already gotta deal with that. Now, by the way, the Zoom thing is weird because, like, can you once again? I've been on it a few times, and obviously my kids are on it all the time for school. But the one thing I'm not sure is can people record your Zoom session and you not be aware of it?
Probably.
Right.
Yeah, cool. Why wouldn't they record it from their own laptops?
Right. So the plan now is this. The plan is I'm going to be here till the 9th. Mm-hmm. And because I have those 5 days as you do too, Rich.
Yeah.
And I will be here till the 9th. Then my wife will be here for an extra week. And then my children will stay here through June.
Okay.
Because you're able to do things here. Like, they're able to, you know, go to baseball camp or go to my daughter, big baking camp person. So they're able to go to baking camp. So it's just the best. It's really fun. And so they will be here until July. And then we will go back. And hopefully, I am hoping that there will be some openings for children to, I don't know if I want to go crazy here, socialize with one another, and hopefully that would be the case. If not, then they just might stay here. So, yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of fun, a lot of therapy, baby, a lot of therapy going on.
Well,
for the best, and one huge prick. I hope you're listening, you son of a bitch prick. And then the other one, very nice. And so one pretends he doesn't isn't aware of the show, even though I've been talking to him for 4 weeks. And you would think you would investigate a little bit into what I do for a living. But I mean, I find it exceptionally fraudulent that he has not, in the last 4 weeks, at least Googled me. But
So the two, yeah, the two people, so they contradicted each other. Were they on the same Zoom call? I'm sorry.
No.
Like, are they, okay, all right. So you
see, that
would have
been
one.
Fun. That would have been fun if they were on the same call.
I have seen, I'm saying way too much. I've seen one woman for about my entire time in Boston. And then the guy on Zoom was saying how terrible she was for the way she handled me. And then I talked to her, and she did not, as you would imagine, care for that line of thought. And I like her, and so I was like, okay, well, he's a prick.
Isn't that something that you would think that professionals would deal with behind the scenes? You know what
oh,
I
yeah.
mean? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, you know, Rich, he, I don't know if you know this, wanted money. So, I don't know if you've cracked the code, but he would like more money from me, and so that was the case. I'm just over the whole thing. I just want it over. Sure. And I've been told by everyone around here that it will be over. And so I said, okay, great. That's what I want, is it to be over. You know, it's a pandemic. I think everyone figures that out. I think that when you were around people 24 hours a day, that your flaws come out and your insecurities come out. And I just ask that this will be over. That's
how much how much are you looking forward to June 9th? That week where it's just you.
Well, now everyone's got me freaked out about it.
Why?
So,
where it's just you?
Why yeah, they like I'm gonna go do some like you know
right.
End up in an insane asylum. Or
everyone's giving them therapy. The last thing they want to do is leave them alone for a week.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing is that they want. Well, the one guy wants me to just you know pour money into his bank account. So,
yeah, he probably wants like these daily therapy sessions just to keep you on. I'm assuming that's what you mean. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's like,
he
you're going to be on your own, so you need to check
in
constantly.
He has, quote unquote, well, okay. Oh, boy, this is so inappropriate to talk about. But he has been doing couples counseling, but you know what? He's got other expertise. Mm. So, for a mere $120 a session, I can solve every problem I've ever had. And so I don't care to do that. I would prefer to just not solve the problems. I just I don't care for the man. I often say I have to make urine during the session so I can skedaddle.
Did he end the session, or do you just like go and like take a nice 10-minute pee?
You take a time out. Yeah.
If you think I'm peeing, you are.
That's what, I mean, obviously, just to get away from his face.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I just want to get away from his face.
Yeah.
So I feign the idea that I need to pee, and my kids go, "Are you dealing with that prick again?" And I go, "Yep." And then I skedaddle into the bathroom and pretend I'm going pee. And then I come back and he's still talking about me, which is, you know, there's two of us on the call. I would like him to, you know, my wife has done nothing wrong, but I would like him to at least address her in some way, shape, or form. And I'll ask how she's feeling, but that apparently is not happening. And you ever have to you know, go to the principal's office or something like that? This is what I have to do, is go on these calls. And my wife, in her defense, has been very upfront with him that he's a jackass. And so half the phone call is how much he sucks, and then the other half is very judgmental, and so
sounds like a winner.
If you both hate him, can you change? Like, it would be one thing if she wanted, like, if she wanted him and you didn't, I would understand that.
No, she was, she has been exceptionally understanding and for real, I'm not just saying that. And, she takes the first, like, 5 minutes of the session to tell him how much he sucks. And then we go from there to a nice ass-kicking for the old Freddie T. So I'm glad I get to say this on the radio. I'm very happy that this is something that I get to talk about. But
well, I mean, you know, if you look at the positives, the first one being is that, you know, you're obviously on the you've put things in motion to try to, you said it yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, take care of what's going on. Second thing is you can get rid of this guy. Just keep thinking of that to yourself. Like, yeah, I get somebody else.
I think that's the plan.
And, yeah, good.
How many, if I stay here till the 9th, I am here for like 2 more weeks. So the most that I would see this gentleman again is once. And so, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, the 9th is 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Okay, so that's when I...
Yes, so it's... yeah,
3 you have weeks
like,
from yesterday. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so I will be here until then. And because they're not opening up business until the 1st, which is the 2nd for us, and then I have 5 days after that.
And even that is, like, really limited in the city of Boston. As a matter of fact, the original plan that Governor Baker came out with was on the 1st, it was 25% for offices in the city of Boston. But Marty Walsh came out yesterday and said, not so fast. I don't even think we can do 25%. Yeah. So just know that, I mean, the time you're coming back is, you know, if anything, almost early. So I wouldn't stress about that too much.
Not stressed about it. I just
you're taking steps forward, though, Fred. You are.
Yes, I could tell you that. Not a fan of all of this, but you know, one does what one has to do. Chicken lo mein at 5 a.m. is also exciting.
You've been there for 2 weeks though now, right? So you can, if I'm not mistaken,
over 2 weeks.
Okay, good. So you can now roam freely with your family, and you can go to other parts of the house, right? I mean, so you're not just stuck, because I just imagine it being like the people under the stairs. Like, you know, the family has been stuck, you know, in that one room while, you know, because you don't want to get your parents sick. But you've been there now for over 2 weeks and been keeping your distance. So is there a little more room to get away?
Yes, I think that today is the first day that we can – I've been doing it anyway, but today is the first day that we can guilt-free.
Right. Yeah.
Roam amongst the house. So my kids are very excited about that because they love their grandparents. So, but they're going to stay here. They're here for another month, and you know, when things get back to normal, I guess their activities start in Boston in July. So they can start here next month.
But looking like that's going to happen, by the way. I mean, the way that...
summer camps? Please tell me summer camps. Summer camps, well, you think summer
camps?
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I mean...
camps.
No.
Well, there's some states, like if they're going out of state, there's some that are doing it, or that are going to in July. I know Connecticut was one of the ones on the forefront saying that they would do it. I don't know about Maine, where a lot of people go, a lot of kids go. What about
Camp Young Judea?
I don't know. I got to look that up. That's Amherst, New Hampshire, baby. I don't know. You got to find that out.
Dude, anything goes in New Hampshire. We know that.
My dad has a boner because apparently there's this camp that has like these ex-major leaguers that coach baseball. So my dad is enthralled with that. So I just said,
well, maybe he'll kidnap your son, tell him he's going somewhere else, and then drive him there.
But my son is just like, put me around kids. Like, all I want is kids. I'm so sick of you. So that is the deal. That is the deal. And what time is it? Because I don't have any kind of clock except for family matters. What time is it, Danny boy?
Just 6:17, right?
Okay, 6:17. All right, so we will break, and then we come back. We can get off of my trials and tribulations.
Don't go far, Fred.
I know. The breaks are not the longest in the world, but I can have another Dr. Pepper. And we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what is going on in this crazy world of sports?
And it is crazy. After a handful of years of Tom Brady saying that he's going to skip out on OTAs, yesterday at the ass crack of dawn, there he was for all to see.
It's a beautiful day.
Just running out onto the field wearing shoulder pads, Buccaneers orange, and $1 million smile. There was Tom Brady at Berkeley Preparatory School along with about eight of his Tampa Bay Buccaneer buddies humming the ball down and around the field in what ended up being about a two-hour throwing session. And Brady wasn't the only quarterback there. As a matter of fact, in attendance was his backup there.
Hey, Gabbert.
That's right, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Says, hey, Gabbert, look at you. You're always running around doing stuff for no reason.
But Brady, he was the only
look
player.
Look at you out there, like, pretending that you're going to play.
Hey, Gabbert.
That's right, Gabbert. He was the only one out there, though, Brady, wearing a bright orange practice jersey over shoulder pads with a Bucs helmet because, hey, football, everyone else just wearing their sweatpants. Even though teams are not yet allowed to be able to have this type of practice, Brady reportedly organized this himself. The NFL has come out with a statement saying there's nothing wrong with Brady working out with teammates as long as they followed the guidelines set by the state and medical experts and everything around the league. According to reports, following the workout, Brady and his teammates spent about 25 minutes on the field and in the bleachers just talking and doing some relationship building. And that's when they busted out the hoses.
Like, they have a lot to talk about. Brady's very relatable. He knows it every guy.
That is true. He's like, hey, how did you spend your $1 billion?
That's right. Here, have some COVID-19 vitamins. Here, it'll protect you.
He handed out the snack packs.
Yeah, Tom Brady seems to have an answer for everything that comes up. He seems to have just the magical juice.
Guys, if I got oranges, orange slices, and homemade cookies for everyone.
if you had a concussion, here, take this sauce. And if you don't like that COVID-19 that's going around, here's another sauce for it. He seemed to have cracked the market on sauces.
Well, what's so awesome is that in this article from the Tampa paper, and they don't know how to handle this. They said, quote, "It's not surprising that Brady organized the session at 7 a.m. In addition to providing some protection against the heat of day as well as some privacy, he's also able to determine which teammates are willing to rise early and make the sacrifice to work on improving their timing and chemistry with him." Wow, quite the test.
Well, I don't know, guys. You know this, it's very hard to wake up by 7. I don't know if you've cracked that code, given that we've done the morning show for 12 years. But I just want you to know that it's exceptionally difficult. Imagine arising by 7. That is a feat worth worshiping.
I mean, there is going to be... Did somebody say feet worshiping?
Yes. So, thank you for bringing it up. Yes.
Now, I mean, obviously,
I
Tom
get up
Brady
at 7 to worship feet.
I know you do, DA. Yes, thank you very much. I know that, like, you know, Tom Brady's obviously the greatest of all time, but get ready. There is going to be a local news Bobby Valentine-esque type of thing with all of this. I mean, for them to like praise Tom Brady for having this practice at 7 a.m. is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I can only imagine the sacrifice one has to make to get up and have a practice at 7.
All right, John Wallach, question to you. After a handful of years where Brady skipped OTAs for the Patriots, does it piss you off to see him do this in Tampa?
No. To me, this is like he's missing his buddies, Amendola and Edelman. I mean, so instead of going to a shack in Montana to throw, he happens to be in Tampa. He can't travel anywhere, and he invited guys who are also quarantined in the state of Florida to work out with him. And these guys know that they can probably win this year if they pay attention to this guy. So, no, I'm not pissed.
I mean, are you impressed that he is up at such an early hour?
That's really awesome. Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Hey, guys.
Every one of our listeners that was up at 5 this morning to deliver something has got to be incredibly impressed with the earliest of hours, 7. I mean, that's a story.
I know, it's the best.
Like, wow, you were up at 7. Great. Like, it went, it's fantastic, because no one else has to do that. You're living a life that none of us can understand. Now, if he was up at 2...
Sure.
And you know, going out and working out, then you would say, hey, that's something. But the idea of 7 in the morning... Not overly impressive.
Yeah, listen.
It's not like everyone has other places, other things to do and places to go either. I mean, I would think 1 hour is pretty much like the next one nowadays in Florida. You know what I'm saying?
I can hear Mark Wahlberg all the way from his place in Hollywood going, 7 a.m.? I've been up for 6 hours.
Well, he's been praying. I mean, there's a lot of that's prayer.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Because one cannot pray in the afternoon. Well, it has to be done very early in the morning.
On top of all that, as you mentioned, Fred, Tom Brady seems to be getting a lot of crap for releasing his second, quote, immunity supplement on his TB12 website in the middle of a pandemic. The product is called Protect and is sold as a 30-day supply for $45. It includes vitamin C, larch tree extract, and elderberry among the ingredients. A disclaimer that states, the disclaimer right there on the bottle says that the product is not approved by the Food and Drug Administration and, quote, is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. I believe I saw Shaughnessy say on Twitter that releasing this product during a pandemic is tantamount to war profiteering, which, all right, Shaughnessy. I mean, listen, this is what Tom Brady has done. He sells this stuff and has done it for a while, even before the coronavirus. Sure, it makes you roll your eyes, but if you buy a $45 bottle of pills to save you from COVID-19 because Tom Brady told you to, well, then that's on you. Then have fun on the ventilator.
Well, Rich, you know? I don't know if you know this, but vitamin C is very hard to come by. And
elderberries. Where are you going to get those? I have younger berries. Where do I get the elderberries?
Exactly. I want the Ed Begley Jr. berry. I want something.
The Wilford Brimley of berries.
I was trying to come up with his name, and I went Ed Begley on you. I was trying to actually come up with Wilford Brimley.
See, we're on the same wavelength there.
But I mean, he's garbage. I mean, this whole thing is just ridiculous. He's coming out with some immunity crap. But, because it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, it's just a strange coincidence that he came out with that at the same time.
He did, you know, this is the second one during it. And he came out with that video, like, right when everyone started going into quarantine. I remember seeing that going, what are you doing? And now with the second one, it's just like, is what he does, man. I mean, and I just, I love how, like, people are, you know, I know that Shaughnessy obviously is trying to rile people up, but he called it like war profiteering. Like, dude, this is what he does. And anyone, like, Tom Brady just does this. And on top of that, like, I don't know if anybody is actually going and buying this stuff. Like, is it even selling? Like, does anybody, when I went to the TB12 like place, I was the only one there that day. It was weird. I had an entire workout. There was no, it was like an hour and a half and nobody else was there. I was the only client. So I don't know if, I still don't think people understand what it is. Like, is it a gym? Is it like a place where you get massages? Is it a massage parlor? Is it therapy? Like, nobody really gets it. And even after I did it, I don't quite get it. Now, I felt really weird during it, but afterwards I felt pretty good. But is that enough for the amount that they're charging? Are people buying these expensive pills? Like, I don't know if this is a good business model, if you know what I mean, Fred.
Yes, I understand that the vitamin C elderberry market might not be the most lucrative. But, I mean, one has to, you know, do what is best for the public, and that is blocking the pandemic through the use of berries and vitamins.
He should just drive past the hospital there in Tampa where everyone's being treated and just throw the pills through the window, and all of a sudden it's just sunshine comes out of everywhere. Goodness gracious, what have you done?
Well, I mean, he is a quarterback. I mean, he should know about these things. I mean, he went to Michigan. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
We've got more baseball news. These people continue to butt heads. However, there is one player on the Red Sox who puts everything in perspective. And you know what? To be quite honest, I'm glad he's still here.
All right. We will focus on that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.85, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on in this crazy world of sports?
Oh, just so much. But you can take your Tom Brady. We have Chris Sale. With baseball trying to figure itself out, Chris Sale sees the positive in not playing at the moment. In an interview yesterday with ESPN.
His motion is, there's no way he could play any longer. But okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, to your point, in his interview with ESPN, Chris Sale said, quote, "On my end of it, I'm not missing any games that everyone else isn't missing. Plus, I'm not getting paid, so no one could call me an overpaid a-hole right now." That's a great quote and a great point.
At least he's aware he's an overpaid a-hole.
Oh, he knows that. Yeah. Like, he's the best. Like, I mean, he gets what he's going to, and he feels bad, you know, that all has happened, but he's just like, all right. I mean, at least that's the one benefit, is that I can't get yelled at for making too much money because no one's making it right now. So I guess it's
funny.
Bonus for me.
I was just, there is a weird Sports Illustrated that came out when I was at the airport that I bought. That's a, like, a preview of the season, as if it was going to be played. And it goes into great detail about how Sale didn't stand a chance that he was going to get injured eventually, that it was too much for him. So I'm glad someone else thought that and they saw his motion.
Yep.
I'm glad someone else put those pieces together. So, yes, and I'm glad that he knows that, you know, if you're 6'6", 120 pounds, and you throw across your body, that chances are you're not going to be in it for the long haul. So,
well,
God bless him.
Well, meanwhile, things don't seem to be going anywhere regarding baseball's plans to get started.
Here's how it works now. On Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, a former player who's now an instructor and has had 30 years in the game called me on the phone on a Sunday morning and started screaming about the proposal that the owners sent to the players. And he said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. There is no chance we're going to play this season. That's what he told me. The next day, I spoke to a general manager who is very plugged in on this, and he told me the chances of playing this year are 100%.
All right, that is the voice of John Wallach's best impression, Tim Kirchen, on the ongoing butting of heads between players and owners in an attempt to try to get this season started. As you can tell, I mean, it's all over the place. And according to John Heyman, negotiations between baseball and the Players Association haven't even begun. So yesterday, Heyman reported that the owners give the players two options. Number one, negotiate a new financial agreement, like something other than this prorated pay for players playing games with no fans in attendance. Or two, wait until the coronavirus clears to the point where fans can attend games.
The owners, what that tells me is the players aren't moving. They don't want any part of this revenue split. And what this says to me is the owners are fully prepared to lose $4 billion. And if they're fully prepared to lose $4 billion, they have more than enough money. So I got to be honest with you, neither side looks good. Players, you know, listening to Blake Snell and Bryce Harper wasn't good. Listening to this nonsense isn't good. And as I said last night, it really sucks to be a baseball fan because I was a baseball fan first. I want to see games played, and these two guys are haggling in an era where small business owners are just having trouble scraping pennies together. It's an awful look for the sport. I can't stand it when they do this.
The players look awful, and by the way, if they had any sense, they would play. If they had any sense in the world, because if you don't play this year, and then there's questions if you play next year.
No, they'll play next year. It's just at the end of next year, Lord knows.
Right. And so you think that baseball can afford that? I mean, they can't afford to do that. And I like baseball too, John. It's my favorite sport. But the optics on it and the reality of it is that if hockey comes back and basketball comes back and football comes back, baseball can't afford not to play.
That's right, especially with the other sports playing during the summer, during your season.
Yes, and they cannot afford not to play. And so if I'm a player or I'm an owner, especially if I'm a player, well, I can, if I'm ownership, I can go, well, I lost $4 billion or $40 billion, whatever the hell it is. I'm losing $40 billion. But if you're losing $4 billion, I mean, you can turn around and go, I lost $4 billion.
But I can still afford to play. I mean, the owners are prepared to lose all of this money, which tells me that they are more than wealthy enough to handle it. So,
they are. But
I got to be honest with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But if I can turn to my employees and say I've lost $4 billion, what leg do you have to stand on? I mean, I've lost the money.
The players would say then, okay, well, you came to an agreement with us, and we're losing money too, and we signed something that said that we were going to get paid at this certain point. We're going to get paid for games that are being played, and now you're trying to flip the script, and on top of that, we're the ones who are risking getting sick, not you. So,
okay,
pay us. So business-wise, health-wise, they have two legs to stand on in this.
I would counter with this, is that when we made this agreement, we did not know the severity of how it was going to affect business. And second of all, you're putting yourself in about the safest place you could be in terms of the coronavirus.
And then what I would do is, out of the player's situation, is I would find the date that you signed that contract, and then I would send them 30 articles from major newspapers that speculated that there would be no fans once sports returned. Everyone knew at the time that they weren't going to come right back with fans.
I argue that in early March you didn't know. Like, we didn't know school wasn't going to be going on.
Signed this. They signed this deal after the whole quarantine started. Like, that's when they signed this deal to not end up getting paid
for
those games.
Wasn't it March 16th or something?
Yep. And so at that time, you can actually find out that there's plenty of articles that talk about the return of sports, because right after the whole Rudy Gobert thing happened, there was speculation about how they would have to finish the season with no fans. Like, from the very beginning. So when they signed that deal, the owners, it was out there in like the New York Times, even the Boston Globe had an article about it. Before that contract was signed, it was a known reality that most likely you would return with no fans in the stands. So for the owners to plead ignorance on that and all of a sudden to be surprised by this prospect, oh, we thought we're going to have full lines at the concession stands, that is, to me, a farce. That's them trying to scrape together more money, even though they completely realized that's the way the reality was going to be.
There comes a time where both sides have to get over themselves. The players now want the owners to open up their books and prove to them that they're going to lose $4 billion. The owners are like, fine, I agree. But the owners are saying, screw that. You guys need to handle the 50-50 revenue split because it's all we can afford. So neither side is talking to the other, and the clock is running. I mean, if you really want to start the season by July 4th, you got to have players back at their facilities working out and getting ready, more specifically the pitchers getting ready, in what, 2 weeks?
Well, you make a good point, John, because Jeff Passan talked about that. Like, if they want to do this, this is something that needs to be decided within, like, the next week.
Yeah, this deal needs to be done with May still on the date. Like, that, it's as simple as that. If you don't have that, then you will not have baseball in early July starting off actual regular season games. You will not have spring training. There's so much logistically that needs to get done that this 67-page plan outlines. And whether it's physicians, whether it's teams, whether it's players, you need to have everything running as smoothly as possible if you want to hit those timetables. Right.
On top of that, too, it's almost as if, like, what more can you add? Baseball may have another problem. So it was announced yesterday that the U.S. and Canada have agreed to keep the border closed for non-essential business.
That's a kick in the balls. The NHL has a lot of trouble with that, but Major League Baseball especially has trouble with that because they want to start quick.
I mean, what do you think they're catching over an imaginary line? Like, it's not, going from another continent to another continent. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's an imaginary line. We've invented as human beings that line from Canada into the United States. That's not a geographic,
It's not a body of water or something.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying. So it's something we've just invented.
Yeah, I mean, the air in Canada
Toronto
isn't
to
any
Detroit. Yeah, like Toronto to Detroit or Montreal to Buffalo or Toronto to Buffalo. I mean, we've just invented that.
It's the Labatt's line. That's where we get a little more prevalent from one side to the next.
In Detroit, it's all Labatt's. So, I mean, I would argue that maybe Detroit you can't travel to.
That's an excellent point.
So, I mean, that is absolutely ludicrous that Canada.
They just called it the Molson-Dixon line.
Exactly.
You wrote that down somewhere. That's not off the top of your head. That's impressive.
Go screw John.
I can't do it.
I wrote that down.
Oh, sorry.
I'll tell you is that, that is ludicrous. I mean, the idea that at the board, like after the Windsor Tunnel, that there's diseases being carried all over is. I grew up a mile from Canada. Like, I don't understand how that mile is something that would create disease.
But it's real, and it's something that the league's got to deal with. And Jeff Passan here.
Go ahead. Play Jeff Passan.
Here's where he talks about the complications, just the wrench that throws in everything.
As much what you're not allowed to do as what you are. And this shows the lengths to which baseball is going to try and be thorough and get on the sides of those health commissions that are going to look at this document and say, okay, you're outlawing spitting, hot tubs, cold tubs, Gatorade jugs on the bench. Players aren't allowed to stand next to each other during the national anthem. You're suggesting maybe you guys don't even take showers post-game? Like, there's a lot in there. You need a document like this to start, and it was just a draft memo that they're getting feedback from Major League Baseball teams as well as the Players Association on. There's going to be some progress this week on in this regard with health and safety, and I think that they can come to an agreement there. In the end, though, Greeny, it's going to come down to money with the players in Major League Baseball.
And yep, so that really is it.
I mean, it's money. They don't care about spitting or hot tubs. It's money. I mean, they don't care about any of that. It's money. But I do understand the inherent danger of coming from Montreal into the Buffalo area or going from Windsor to Detroit. I can only imagine. No, it's money. It's entirely money. You're going to tell these guys not to spit?
Well, they did that in the Korean Baseball League, and the first game I watched, they're spitting all over the place.
Yes, you spit in baseball. You spit. I mean, they're just, you, I don't know. I don't believe anything except for money. I don't believe that these guys are concerned about the coronavirus. I don't believe anything except that they want to get paid.
I believe that the guys who don't need money, and I was about to say that, is that
if a Mike Trout doesn't want to play,
yeah,
fine.
It's a whole different like field that they're thinking in. When you have more money than you'll ever need and you're the highest paid player and you have a wife that's pregnant, Fred, you're exactly right. There is a small percentage that that's going to matter, and they might not even play. But
good.
The majority,
I mean, that's fine.
The season will start if the players get their money. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, I think the season might start regardless of what happens because if I'm a Brock Holt or a Bader, I got to play. I mean, I only have, you know, 3 seasons left in me, and I got to get paid. I can't afford to lose a season.
But the union can't back off too much because that sets the table for a year from now. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand, they have to show a strong front, and that's
the problem. I mean, both sides have a lot at stake.
But John, the reality is that I could go, this is an unprecedented situation, and this does not affect my negotiations for next year.
But the owners if the players union backs down, you can bet the owners are going to take that to the table in December of next year and make the negotiations much harder.
Well, that might be true, but if I'm a guy that's making $2 million a year and I have a lifespan in the game of 3 years, I want that money.
Of course.
So, for every Mike Trout, there's, you know, 70 guys that need the money. You know, if I'm a lefty that's got a lefty pitcher that's got, you know, if I'm lucky, 2 more years.
I hope that carries the day, but the longer this goes on and the window seems to be closing here,
well,
I have a feeling they're going to figure out a way to screw this up again.
Well, probably, but I mean, they're idiots because if I can get hockey back, which is going to happen,
yep,
and I can get basketball back, which is going to happen, mm-hmm, and I can play football, which is going to happen, mm-hmm, all these things are going to happen, and I can't get baseball going, I got news for you. The salaries are going to go down because I'm going to go as an owner. I lost $4 billion. And here you go. This is what I lost.
Well, listen, all these highfalutin players sitting out, all that does is just open up the door for the return of one legend. You know?
It's unbelievable what they did!
Johnny Gomes saying, dude, I'm ready to go.
Gomes plays for free.
You can infect me with AIDS, Gomes, and I'll come out there and play. You just take a bunch of needles with all the worst, most deadly diseases, I'm out there in left field waiting for you.
Yeah, he's going to dive at balls. He doesn't need to dive at.
He's only 39. I bet you he tries.
It's
unbelievable what they did.
Yeah, what they did. Exactly. Not what you did. What they did. Not even on the playoff roster. I think he had like 8 at-bats that season. Good for you, Johnny Gomes.
But everyone was talking about him, according to him.
Y'all want to be politically correct? I'm the unpolitically correct person. We whooped their ass.
I told you, I was listening to Johnny Dare on my way home in Kansas City, and they were like, who's the jackass that was on TV? They didn't even know who he was.
He's our jackass. All right, yeah, we'll claim him.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.